Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the Union Naval.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is the oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. Delighted you could be with us. Well, if this is your virgin voyage, allow me to share with you our mantra. Folks, we want the Republicans out of our bedroom, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. We feel there exists this cavernous gap separating the two orthodoxies, and that it's a gap comprised of many degree-thinking people who can argue quite passionately in shades of gray. And to that end, each and every show, we have fine guests to help best illustrate this point. Today is no exception. Also, if you wish to hook up with us on the web, it's www.alannathan.com. Don't forget that email address, alan@alannathan.com. That's A-L-A-N. Coming at you live and strong each and every Monday through Friday. At this time, don't forget the classic Alan Nathan Show, Saturdays, 6 to 7 p.m. And overnight Sunday mornings, 3 to 4, all times Eastern. We are indeed a Main Street Radio Network production. Please check us out at mainstreetradionetwork.com. Feel free to avail yourselves of our nascent but always robust Twitter and Facebook options that we have there for you. And, of course, with great dispatch and alacrity, we love to thank our distributor, the Salem Radio Network. That's right, the Alan Nathan Show is entering its 28th year of national syndication, all thanks to you, reaching about 800 towns and cities across a couple of hundred radio station broadcasts each week. Again, all thanks to you. And by the way, I don't care if you're part of the authoritarian left or perpetually clueless right. Please get out of the thought control business. And also, very quickly, want to give a shout-out not only to the stations who've been taking us for well over 2.5 decades, but also these podcast networks picking us up. Thank you to Listen Notes, as well as Apple, and of course, Amazon Music, Amazon Music UK, Amazon Music India, Amazon Music Italy. There are some other countries I'm forgetting, my apologies. Also Spotify, great to be on Spotify. And of course, we also are very, very happy to be on CRN Talk, a radio network unto themselves. They carry us on their channel 4. You can go to crntalk.com, check us out on their channel 4. You'll also notice that they take us via Roku, so that's also a fun thing. And again, just thank you to one and all. But without a doubt, without my audience, forget it, none of this would be possible. So thank you to you as well, most assuredly. Our topics du jour, as you may have heard, well, the Democrats' clumsiest lies about Trump's one big beautiful bill have really become so cartoonish that exposing them is really just easier than ever now. So I'm wondering how badly humiliated will they be in a few months, because the efficacy and the benefits of this one big beautiful bill will be manifestly far more clear than it is right now, but still way ahead of the 2026 midterms. And the Democrats are hanging their collective hat on that collective nail, thinking, oh, boy, we'll be able to make hay with this. No, you won't, because the benefits are coming fast, fast and furiously. Also, DNC Chair Ken Martin publicly embraces New York City Democrat mayoral candidate Zohran Mamdani's anti-Semitism. Just does it openly. So how will this play before the 2026 midterms? Now, getting to the one big beautiful bill, you got MSNBC, CNN, and ABC, of course, the Washington Post as well as the Boston Globe, and the rest of legacy media. They're all claiming that there won't be any real economic growth from Trump's one big beautiful bill, and that benefits for the poor will be slashed as opposed to only for those who are ineligible. And of course, their all-time favorite, nobody gets a tax break but the rich. Now, I want to start with that last one first, okay? Because Trump tax cuts have been wrongly cited as being only for the rich. They've actually provided measurable tax cuts for well over 80%. Now, Democrats are repeating the provable lie that the Trump tax cuts only helped the rich from 2017, despite even the Liberal Tax Policy Center acknowledging that over 80% of the country had indeed received tax cuts. This is the Tax Policy Center admitting that well over 80% of the country had received tax cuts. And this was actually reported by even the New York Times. Here's the headline. Face it, you probably got a tax cut. Subtitle. Studies consistently find that the 2017 law cut taxes for most Americans. And this was reported on in April of 2019. April 14th, to be precise, of 2019. Here's an excerpt. To a large degree, the gap between perception and reality on the tax cuts appears to flow from a sustained and misleading effort by liberal opponents of the law to brand it as a broad middle-class tax increase. I want you to hear this excerpt again. And this isn't an op-ed from the New York Times. These are two of their reporters on this, okay? To a large degree, the gap between perception and reality on the tax cuts appears to flow from a sustained and misleading effort by liberal opponents of the law to brand it as a broad middle-class tax increase. End of excerpt. Now, folks, this is happening again because the OBBB, the one big beautiful bill, when it comes to tax cuts, is largely just a continuation of the 2017 cuts. So if the left have been caught red-handed lying about it then, how are they not verifiably lying about it now? Because it's pretty much the same animal, only it's in better form. This is incredible. But this is what we have from the left. They verifiably lied about who was getting the tax cuts the first go around. So now we're supposed to believe that they're now, what, miraculously telling the truth when they're saying the same thing about the same tax cuts, which have only been improved. Those are the only changes. They've just been improved. How have they been improved? Well, unlike last go around, they don't sunset after 10 years. They're permanent. They're permanent. And again, this was reported on by the New York Times. The reporters were Ben Kesselman and Jim Tankersley. Ben Kesselman and Jim Tankersley. They wrote this on April 14th, 2019. Face it, you probably got a tax cut. Studies consistently find that the 2017 law cuts taxes for most Americans. This matters. This matters a lot. And I will, you know, I'm going to do everything I can to ensure that as many people as possible learn the truth, because it's got to be done. Now, I was reading a piece recently by old friend of the show, Peter Navarro. He's the White House Senior Counsel for Trade and Manufacturing. This is what he writes. He said, the president's OBBB will not only boost jobs and take home pay for America's working class families, it will slash deficits by trillions of dollars, even as its targeted expenditures will strengthen our national defense and secure our borders. As a bonus, the OBBB will rapidly accelerate the deportation of millions of illegal aliens now stealing jobs from American citizens and driving down wages. He goes on to say, at the center of the fake news misinformation storm is the Congressional Budget Office. For years, the CBO has been trapped in a stale left-wing Keynesian mindset and stubbornly committed to static scoring models that fail to grasp how real-world economies respond to bold pro-growth policies. As someone who has witnessed President Trump craft his economic agenda from inside the West Wing, I can tell you firsthand, when you cut taxes, slash job-killing regulations, achieve energy dominance, defend America's manufacturing base with tariffs, and fight for fair trade, the economy doesn't inch forward, it takes off. End of excerpt. Now, he's unambiguously correct on the CBO's now proven flawed models when predicting economic outcomes. Because when grading Trump's 2017 tax cuts, guess what? They just went ahead and forecast a growth of a lousy 1.8%. Guess what it turned out to be? A rocking 2.9%. All right? Almost twice as much And now the CPO has repeated the same nonsense of repeating little growth despite having already been proven wrong in the first go-around. Truthfully, it's even more of a jaw-dropping act of myopia because this time the tax cuts have no sunset, as has been the case in virtually all tax cuts from administrations past. These puppies are permanent, thus allowing investors to have far greater certainty versus the limited enthusiasm associated with cuts that last only a decade. Do they not grasp that investors are freer with their cash when they know that their dollars are better protected over a longer period of time? And of course, the legacy media has just swallowed this up like free popcorn at the movie theater. I tell you, man, the CBO isn't just misreading the tea leaves. They're misreading huge street signs shoved right in their collective face. Stick with us.
A new young adult novel takes readers on an epic, romantic, and funny romp through medieval England, all with a feminist and queer twist. Ladies' Night by Amy Kaufman and Megan Spooner introduces readers to Gwen, a young blacksmith who yearns to be a knight. Meanwhile, Lady Isabel of Abingdon has been chosen as the grand prize in the Tournament of Dragon Slayers for whichever knight can claim her hand. When Isabel discovers Gwen's knightly ambitions, they hatch a scheme together. Gwen will joust in the tournament disguised as a man. Winning means freedom for Isabel and glory for Gwen. But the best laid plans are often trampled by dragons. Co-author Amy Kaufman.
Ladies Night is a fun, cozy fantasy with a strongly beating feminist heart. If you loved the movie A Knight's Tale, this one is for you. There are cheerleaders at the tournament, crocodiles in the moat, prison breaks, jousting, and a hint of magic. We'd love you to meet a couple of damsels quite capable of saving themselves.
Ladies Night is now available wherever books are sold.
This Independence Day, we honor and thank those who've served in our military. Many have made sacrifices to protect our country, including their health. Veterans are twice as likely than those who haven't served in the military to develop ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. ALS is a neurodegenerative disease that affects nerve cells in the brain and spinal cord, causing patients to lose the ability to walk, speak, and swallow on their own. Veteran Elizabeth Fassler lives with ALS and is helping to raise awareness about this incurable disease.
I was honored to serve my country, and now I serve in a different way by sharing my story of living with ALS and spreading awareness among veterans. I think it's important for people with ALS to feel connected with others, and I hope my story inspires more veterans with ALS to become part of the Share Your Story community. To hear more stories from people living with ALS and to learn more about the opportunity to share your story, visit shareyouralsstory.com/radio.
This message is sponsored by Mitsubishi Tanabe Pharma America.
The new Lifetime original movie, Pretty Hurts, brought to you by GSK, honors real stories of those affected by meningococcal disease, known as meningitis. Pediatrician Dr. April Barnes has more.
Meningitis is an uncommon but serious illness that can cause permanent consequences or even death, sometimes within 24 hours.
I'm Patsy. My daughter lost both legs to meningitis. While many teens and young adults, 16 to 23 years old, have received vaccination that helps protect against meningitis groups A, C, W, and Y, many may be missing vaccination against meningitis B.
My name is John. Meningitis stole my vision, but not my voice. Don't wait to talk to your teen's doctor. Learn more about meningitis vaccination at ask2sure.com.
Tune in to Lifetime on June 28th at 8, 7 Central to watch Pretty Hurts and learn more. This segment is sponsored by GSK. Dr. April Barnes, Patsy, and John are compensated by GSK for their participation in Ask to Be Sure. Vaccination may not protect all recipients.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at pva.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is The Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left-right, black-white, two-dimensional approach. One of the topics we've been talking about is DNC Chair Ken Martin publicly embracing New York City Democratic mayoral candidate Zohran Mamdani's anti-Semitism. And he does it by not really chastising Mamdani's refusal to condemn the phrase, you know, supporting a global intifada against Jews. I want you to hear a little bit of this exchange that we have in our clip one. James, if you can, get clip one ready, because I want the good folks at home to hear this. This is going to be an exchange from PBS's PBS NewsHour's Amma Nawaz. And she asks DNC Chair Ken Martin about Jewish Democrats being concerned for the Democrat New York City, or over the Democrat New York City mayoral candidate Mamdani refusing to condemn the phrase globalize the intifada. I mean, intifada is nothing but kill Jews in the name of a Palestinian state. Because you have to understand, when they say from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, that's the entire state of Israel. They don't want a two-state solution. To them, the only way to have a successful Palestinian state is if it's at the cost of Israel no longer existing. Because everywhere between the Mediterranean Sea, everywhere between the Jordanian River and the Mediterranean Sea is Israel, for the most part. And globalize the intifada is an attachment to that. Clip one, James, if you please.
What about concerns from some of your Jewish colleagues in particular about him not outright condemning the phrase globalize the intifada in a recent interview? Some of your Jewish colleagues have said that that could be very disturbing, potentially dangerous. Do you agree with that?
You know, there's no candidate in this party that I agree 100% of the time with, to be honest with you. There's things that I don't agree with Mamdani that he said. But at the end of the day, I always believe, as a Democratic Party chair in Minnesota for the last 14 years and now the chair of the DNC, that you win through addition. You win by bringing people into your coalition. We have conservative Democrats. We have centrist Democrats. We have labor progressives like me. And we have this new brand of Democrat, which is the leftist. And we win by bringing people into that coalition. And at the end of the day, for me, that's the type of party we're going to lead. We are a big tent party. Yes, it leads to dissent and debate, and there's differences of opinions on a whole host of issues. But we should celebrate that as a party and recognize at the end of the day, we're better because of it.
Since when is hatred of Jews a legitimate policy position? I mean, he's using secondary and tertiary measures in lieu of the primary measure that he cannot satisfy. And I don't think anybody's fooled by it. Again, you were just listening to Ken Martin, DNC chair, treating an anti-Semitic phrase as if, oh, it's just another policy position with which I don't necessarily agree. I love it when people try to use the general as a way to dodge the specific, thinking that they've still satisfied the inquiry. It doesn't work like, why did you hit the girl? Well, there's violence everywhere. Yeah, but why did you hit the girl? A reference to generalities, never a specific inquiry satisfies. It just doesn't. That's 2,400-year-old ancient Athenian sophistry. So Ken Martin is not really advancing the ball anywhere, though he might feel he has. Without further ado, we have assisting in the opining and analyzing on front of the show, A.J. Bruno, political and media strategist. He's also vice president at AMWPR. Previously, he's worked as a state director on Michelle Bachmann's presidential campaign, also contributed to outlets like The Hill, The Red State, also The Washington Examiner. He's here to chat with us about this mayoral candidate. AJ, good to have you back. How are you today?
Al, how's it going? Great to be with you.
Good to have you. Good to have you. I want you to hear just a few things directly from the proverbial horse's mouth, if you will. Zohran Mamdani, he was asked specifically about why it is he won't condemn that phrase. This is from a conversation he had on WPIX's PIX 11 News. Reporter Henry Rossoff puts the question to him. Clip two, James, if you please.
While voting early in Astoria, Queens, Assemblyman and candidate for mayor Zohran Mamdani doubled down on his explanation of the term globalize the Intifada. It's a term many Jewish people and even the U.S. Holocaust Museum say is a rallying cry to kill Jews. Mamdani says he's heard those concerns and does not tolerate anti-Semitism, but he maintains that the phrase means a struggle for basic human rights for Palestinians and many Muslims.
And I've been clear time and time again that there is no room for violence in our city, no room for violence in our country. My point is not that this is language that I use. It is a larger point about these words have different meaning for many different people.
Now, I'm sorry, but maybe this guy needs to be escorted down the etymological corridors of the King's English. But whether you say we're halfway there or we're at the midpoint, you're pretty much saying the same thing. And when people hear this phrase about a global intifada, that is very directly a threat against the existential well-being of the Jewish people, or am I overstating it, sir?
Of course it is. I mean, what else does he think this term means? He's either, you know, sympathetic to this or actually extremely naive. This is a person who is completely unqualified to be the mayor of the largest city in the country. I we'll see what happens because he's a favorite right now. I very much hope that he loses, whether it's Adams or whether it's Sliwa, even Cuomo, he's horrible, but, you know, better than this guy. This is someone who has spoken out against Israel, clearly is not a big fan of Israel or the Jewish people, someone with radical views. We can't trust a person like this in a position like that. So for him to say a comment like that is so naive. And, you know, it hasn't been that long since 9/11. And have people forgotten the lessons of that? If he becomes mayor, I think they will have forgotten the lessons of that. A person like this has no business being in that position. He should be soundly rejected. His views should be rejected. And the Democratic Party, if they embrace this, all they're doing is condemn themselves to more losing.
And not only that, he wants to attribute to the phrase meanings that have nothing to do with it. He's like practicing the art of movable standards, wherein, you know, you rename a thing as being something other than what it is in order to gain the ground your arguments otherwise could not. Hey, Jeffrey Dahmer, he wasn't a monstrous cannibal. He was a lost soul with a misunderstood eating disorder. You know, Joe Biden, he's not picking his nose. He's merely exfoliating his nostrils. You know, and Hunter Biden, he wasn't a drug dealer. He was merely a street-side pharmaceutical rep. Renaming a thing never changes the thing. And I don't think Mamdani understands that, your sense of it.
No, I mean, if he doesn't understand it, using that phrase, what does he think that's going to result in? Terrorist attacks, murder, not peaceful protests. This is a person with a history of believing these naive things. And he supported the Black Lives Matter movement, which we know is an anti-American communist scam, essentially, a racist communist scam. He supported that, too. So he has no idea what this is about. If he actually thinks this is some sort of peaceful movement, and the inability, the refusal to condemn this in a city where horrific Islamic terrorist attack took place should be completely disqualifying. Anything less than that, and the fact that the leadership of one of the major parties in this country won't even speak out against this, say anything, say that this is someone who should be, you know, was part of the party and they're embracing it. I mean, it is beyond outrageous. I can't believe we sunk this low.
Oh my God, Royal! I mean, it's like out of his mouth we hear the words, "We're against anti-Semitism," while at the same time he waves above his head the biggest of Nazi flags. It's just too counterintuitive to take seriously. But alas, there we are. We're stuck with it. Anyway, always great to have you back, AJ Bruno. Everybody, political and media strategist. You are with the Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network. Stick with us.
It's not the glamorous part of world travel, but picking up a preventable virus instead of an exotic souvenir is a guaranteed way to ruin a trip. Whether planning a family vacation, mapping out a solo adventure, or traveling for work this summer, the CDC is urging travelers to think beyond the suitcase when it comes to preparing for a trip abroad. Dr. Amy Lynn Safady gives us some tips for overseas travel.
The CDC recommends consulting with a healthcare provider at least 4 to 6 weeks ahead of your trip to allow time to prepare. Depending on where you're traveling, there may be vaccines you should consider or be required to receive. CVS Pharmacy has many necessary vaccines, such as Tdap, hepatitis hepatitis B, typhoid, cholera, Japanese encephalitis, and more. Availability varies by state. Also, be sure you're up to date on your prescriptions and have an ample supply on hand to last the duration of your trip, plus extra just in case of travel delays.
You can make appointments for yourself and your family by visiting CVS.com or with the CVS Health app. Summer has arrived, presenting great job opportunities within the travel industry. Pilot, the largest network of travel centers with nearly 900 locations across 44 states, is hiring 7,500 team members. With weekly pay, training, support, and competitive benefits, Pilot is committed to supporting its team and helping them make the most of their miles. Abby Bilbrey, field recruiter at Pilot, shares insights on the company's commitment to hiring as summer travelers hit the open road.
Pilot is hiring 7,500 team members called Journey Makers across our travel centers, on-site restaurants, and tanker fleet. We seek driven, reliable, authentic, and welcoming individuals to ensure our guests are fueled up, filled up, and lifted up for the road ahead. Join us to be part of a company that continues to show people they matter at every turn.
To learn more or to apply to become a journey maker, visit jobs.pilotflyingj.com/national hiring.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is The Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. I'm really zeroing in on this Zoran Mamdani character, Democrat mayoral candidate. The guy's been exposed for falsely claiming to be both black and Asian when applying to Columbia University, and now he's been further revealed as an anti-Semitic spit bucket of a human being. Sadly, his bigotry has been embraced by DNC Chair Ken Martin as just another one of many diverse views with which he may or may not agree. You got to be kidding me. And I'm not exaggerating with that take. I want to go ahead and replay this clip. You can hear it for yourself. Just astonishing how this guy weasels out of things. Again, he was on PBS NewsHour with Amna Nawaz. And, you know, he's asked specifically about Jewish Democrats being concerned over this. Clip one, James, if you please.
What about concerns from some of your Jewish colleagues in particular about him not outright condemning the phrase globalize the intifada in a recent interview? Some of your Jewish colleagues have said that that could be very disturbing, potentially dangerous. Do you agree with that?
You know, there's no candidate in this party that I agree 100% of the time with, to be honest with you. There's things that I don't agree with.
Stop it right there. See how he uses an alternate measure to avoid the primary one. He wasn't asked about whether or not he agrees with all the views of any other candidate. That's a generality. Who can argue with the fact, or who can argue with the position conveying that, hey, I don't agree with somebody else's every position? That's understandable. But that's not at issue here. He was never accused of not going along with everything. He was never accused of not understanding that people don't agree with each other all of the time. That's not the measure. The measure has never been, hey, do you understand that we don't all agree with one another all of the time? No. The question is about this specific offensive attack against Jews. But he uses secondary and tertiary measures to escape accountability for the primary one that he obviously cannot satisfy. Restart it. Clip one again, James, if you please.
What about concerns from some of your Jewish colleagues in particular about him not outright condemning the phrase globalize the intifada in a recent interview? Some of your Jewish colleagues have said that that could be very disturbing, potentially dangerous. Do you agree with that?
You know, there's no candidate in this party that I agree 100% of the time with, to be honest with you. There's things that I don't agree with Mamdani that he said. But at the end of the day, I always believe, as a Democratic Party chair in Minnesota for the last 14 years and now the chair of the DNC, that you win through addition. You win by bringing people into your coalition. We have conservative Democrats. We have centrist Democrats. We have labor progressives like me. And we have this new brand of Democrat, which is the leftist. And we win by bringing people into that coalition. And at the end of the day, for me, that's the type of party we're going to lead. We are a big tent party. Yes, it leads to dissent and debate, and there's differences of opinions on a whole host of issues. But we should celebrate that as a party and recognize at the end of the day, we're better because of it.
How do you add to the ranks of your party when you include a group of folks who wish to kill other members of your party? That would seem to be the law of diminishing returns, wherein whatever it is you're getting out of an activity is far exceeded by what you're losing from that activity. So here you have Ken Martin insisting that he wants to expand the party. But how can he expand the party if he's going to bring into it people who want to kill other parts of his party? I don't think I'm being overly strident on this. But that's what Ken Martin, chair of the DNC, expects us to believe, by trying to justify his tolerance for Mamdani's anti-Semitism. Or maybe I'm off the mark here. We have assisting in the opining and analyzing old friend of the show, Steve Abramowicz. He's music producer as well as host of Heartland Journal's Tennessee podcast, as well as being editor at Heartland Journal. Good to have you back. Steve, how are you today?
I'm doing great, my friend. How are you?
Doing well. I know we got you on a little later. Were you able to hear the words of DNC Chair Ken Martin just now?
Yes, and I've heard it for years, so it's not a surprise at all.
Well, am I wrong in saying that his justification being that he wants to expand the party would in fact invite the law of diminishing returns? Because once you start inviting into your party people who wish to kill other parts of your party, that doesn't seem to be a quick way to add to anything. Where am I wrong?
No, I mean, Stalin did it, right? He took out and purged his enemies. And so you have to go back to 2012 when the Democratic National Convention basically axed God out of their party platform. And ever since then, they've been working very closely with the Muslim Brotherhood, Antifa, BLM, all these secularist, warmongering, the type of people who could raid a country on October 7th and kill and maim and rape like we've never seen before. The Democratic Party has just gotten in bed, literally, with some of the worst elements in society, and I guess it's because that's where the right.
You're breaking up a bit as you try to get into maybe a little bit of a better spot. Let me put this question to you. Now that this self-proclaimed socialist has been exposed as both an anti-Semitic and a liar about his own ethnicity, again, you know, he tried to apply to Columbia University, first as a black person, then as an Asian. But so now that we see that he's not only a socialist, he's not only an anti-Semitic reptile, and he's not only a liar about his own ethnicity, he also wants to strong-arm our commerce. He wants to have government-owned grocery stores. And once you have stores that have no reason to provide people products at a better price than a competing store, it's going to fall to crap. With all this coming together, does this guy still get elected in your estimation?
Oh, gosh. I mean, it's so corrupt in New York City. Anything's possible. But he's also the guy who said that they literally want to take the means of production over. Well, that is communism. And he's obviously following the Elizabeth Warren school of election politics by saying, I'm not who I say I am, but vote for me anyway because I have a nice smile. Barack Obama was the same way. So, yeah, I mean, you're pointing out that he's actually willing to tell the truth, but will they fall for it? Yeah, in New York City, there's no election integrity there. They consider election integrity mortgage fraud, like with their attorney general. So I do think he can actually get there. I know who Curtis Sawilla is. I would love to see him as mayor, but I just don't think he would sell to 51% of the electorate in New York City, unfortunately. So he's the only Republican alternative, and that's how this all works. You basically run on a campaign that says you are the guy who will give you everything for free, but you know.
But you know what? That is appealing to the dumbest people on the planet, because if that's your slogan, hey, vote for me and I'll give you more out of the treasury than the other guy, then you're doing what my grocery bagger at Safeway can do. You know, the nearest Jiffy Lube attendant could do that. It's not denigrating to them. I'm just pointing out people don't have to be public servants to think of that one. I mean, anybody can do that. And if people vote for folks who say, hey, vote for me and I'll give you more out of the treasury than the other guy, the anti-Semitism and the lying about his own ethnicity, all that notwithstanding, you're left with a pretty imbecilic electorate. I mean, and I say this as a New Yorker. I live there. I work there. I worked in Manhattan. I was born upstate New York. I was raised for a while in Sunnyside, Queens, where, you know, we're currently represented by AOC. I have a great passion for the New York that was. But now when I look at them, I think to myself, how they have devolved as a city. And I just find it astonishing. I mean, now that this guy has come out to be as reptilian of a character as you and I have been discussing, would New York City residents really knowingly and masochistically vote against their own interest, or have they collectively devolved into the very Hitlerian force the Democrats claim to ostensibly oppose? It looks as if the Democrats have now begun to embody the very racist pieces of crap they're ostensibly against. Or am I being too snarky?
It was Benjamin Franklin who said, a republic, if you can keep it, and they keep sending AOC back for more from the Bronx, even though she was the one who kicked out Amazon, who would have created a whole bunch of jobs. So they obviously aren't really looking for that Calvinistic, capitalistic candidate. They're looking for the ones that keep the welfare rolls going, and that would definitely be the left, the Democrats. However, what he has said, this mayoral candidate is, I don't even like to say his name, he basically is telling everybody, we're going to kick the rich people out of their houses and put poor people in there. He's literally trying to pander to the lowest common denominator, who are the thugs in the street that we see with Antifa and BLM. That's the state of affairs.
Well, unless he expects utility companies to provide power to these houses free of charge and no longer pay the people working for them, then his plan cannot succeed. I mean, I've never seen anybody so self-invalidating in my entire life. I have to believe that he will lose. I have to believe that the aggregate IQ of my former fellow New Yorkers is still able to transcend a phlegm-filled spit bucket. More on this upon a return. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show. Going to be right back.
Families are making plans for summer road trips, and with rising costs, they're looking for ways to save. Joe Saul Sehi, personal finance expert and host of the Stacking Benjamins podcast, says planning ahead can help.
Setting a realistic budget for things like food, gas, lodging, of course, that's going to make an impact and help you save money. But also focusing on those little things, looking at reward programs and offers and incentive can help a family defray the cost of the trip a lot while also making sure that you keep all the fun.
Families can protect their investment in their vehicle with programs like GM Rewards MasterCard from Barclays and the GM Rewards Loyalty Program. Card members can earn points towards exclusive experiences, a new car, routine service, or digital features like OnStar.
If you're already spending money on things like groceries or travel, why not sign up for the reward program for those things to get points? It's a great way to build future savings toward future adventures.
To learn more about GM Rewards and the GM Rewards MasterCard, visit experience.gm.com. A proposed Medicare change could limit access to a skin cancer treatment used by more than 100,000 seniors. Matthew Bassett, executive director of the Dermatology Association of Radiation Therapy and former assistant secretary at HHS, has more.
Image-guided superficial radiation therapy, or IGSRT, has over a 99% success rate. It's non-invasive, clinically effective, and often the best option for people who can't have surgery. Taking it away just doesn't reduce access. It takes away choice for patients who deserve every option and makes healthcare more expensive.
Non-melanoma skin cancer is the most common cancer in the country. Dr. Ken Milani says the change could have real consequences.
We're talking about a treatment that is both proven and cost-effective. If coverage is restricted, many patients would lose access to care they count on, contradicting efforts to protect Medicare coverage.
To learn more about how the proposed change could affect seniors, visit patientsact.org. That's patientsact.org. With more than 5.2 million electric vehicles now on U.S. roads, the need for fast, reliable charging is growing. Automakers are working to make it easier and more accessible, especially for drivers planning longer trips. Kia America's James Bell has more.
The amount of investment that the entire industry and the transportation industry is putting into electric vehicles is incredible. So much so that in the very near future, the idea of a gasoline-powered car is going to feel very old.
One recent update gives Kia EV drivers access to more than 21,500 Tesla superchargers across the country. That's in addition to the more than 22,000 public fast charging stations already available. The goal is to cut down on wait times and ease charging anxiety.
Kia EV owners have access to a special app that can help identify local stations in your area, which charging ports are available. Plug in, push a button, let the charging begin.
To learn more, visit Kia.com. That's Kia.com.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm going to keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me?
would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all gotta help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're gonna be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Current policy 2017 tax cut cost, all right, so there's the table, should be zero, okay? Zero, all right? Actually, the CBO underreported it over the past 7 years by $2.3 trillion. The current cost of the 2017 tax cuts should be zero. Why should they be zero? Because they actually produced more revenues, $2.3 trillion more revenues than CBO estimated over the past 7 years. So current policy shouldn't be scored. The deficit impact should be neutral.
You're listening to old friend of the show, Larry Kudlow. We got to get him back on. It's been too long. He was making that point on his show, Fox Business Kudlow with Larry Kudlow. He's talking about how the CBO is falsely claiming that the 2017 Trump tax cuts added to the deficit. No, as a matter of fact, they generated far more revenue than they allowed people to keep to begin with because it was synergistic. All right, it just has that impact. Now, unfortunately, Congress always manages to then spend more than the additional revenue that's coming in, so we're still left with increasing deficits and national debt. But that's not the fault of the tax cuts. Matter of fact, thanks to the tax cuts, what would otherwise be a larger deficit becomes a smaller one. What would otherwise be a larger aggregate national debt becomes a smaller one. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is the Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. Absolutely delighted you could be with us. So Democrats are repeating the provable lie that the Trump tax cuts only help the rich. But again, even the liberal tax policy center, the very liberal tax policy center, TPC, acknowledges that over 80% of the country did indeed receive those tax cuts from Trump's 2017 bill. Now, the OBBB, the One Big Beautiful Bill, simply continues those tax cuts, but more robustly and in better fashion, because now, unlike before, there's no sunset to them. These are permanent. Permanent. So if the Democrats were lying about it when it was not as good as it is now, then clearly the lie is even more nefarious. They're saying the same thing about Trump tax cuts 2.0 as they did with the 1.0, even though 2.0 is far better, and they've already been caught lying out of their backside over 1.0. They wrongly said that most people weren't getting a tax cut in 1.0, and they're saying the same thing about 2.0, even though the latter is just a better version of the former, and the former has already been demonstrated as being the direct antithesis of how the left are portraying it. Because even the New York Times reported on it. Here's the headline. Face it, you probably got a tax cut. Studies consistently find that the 2017 law cut taxes for most Americans. And here's an excerpt from the reporting. And this is not an op-ed. These are from two New York Times reporters. Here's the excerpt. To a large degree, the gap between perception and reality on the tax cuts appears to flow from a sustained and misleading effort by liberal opponents of the law to brand it as a broad middle-class tax increase. End of excerpt. I mean, my God, this is actually the New York Times reported on it. April 14th, 2019. Astonishing. But I want to thank reporters Ben Castleman, and Jim Tankersley for being that brave to actually putting on the record in the New York Times that the left has its collective head up its collective backside on this issue. And now they're replicating the same claims, even though they've already been universally debunked by everybody who knows what the hell they're talking about. Astonishing to look at this. But there they are, pulling it off. Now, on this issue, we've heard from Peter Navarro, White House Senior Counsel for Trade and Manufacturing. He points out that at the center of the fake news misinformation storm is the Congressional Budget Office. He says for years, the CBO has been trapped in a stale left-wing Keynesian mindset and stubbornly committed to static scoring models that fail to grasp how real-world economies respond to bold, pro-growth policies. As someone who has witnessed President Trump craft his economic agenda from inside the West Wing, I can tell you firsthand, when you cut taxes, slash job-killing regulations, achieve energy dominance, defend America's manufacturing base with tariffs, and fight for fair trade, the economy doesn't just inch forward, it takes off. And he's correct, unambiguously so. When grading Trump's 2017 tax cuts, they went ahead and forecast a growth of 1.8%, but it turned out to instead be a rocket 2.9%. In 17, they said it was going to be 1.8, but as of 2018, it proved to be 2.9. That's almost twice as much. And there are other things that are positives about this. You know, the OBB, the OBBB now allows parents to direct education dollars to both charter and private schools. Now, the feds don't provide the majority of government education funds anyway. Those come from the states, but it's going to be interesting to see how this feature works out. But at least those dollars that are provided by the feds can now be allocated by parents in their own direction. Also, the law opens more federal lands to mining and drilling, which, of course, expands our natural resources as well as supply. While also, and this is very important, lowers our reliance on the Middle East for fuel. It also reduces Russia's leverage on the world stage. I mean, this is a big plus to the economy, is it not? Also, the OBBB ends the Biden student loan forgiveness program, which spares us all from having to have our taxes pay for the defaulted loans of others. This has been a long time coming, is it not? Oh, by the way, it also kills the EV mandate while phasing out much of the Green New Deal. Now, we're again free to choose the car that suits our own personal needs, our own preferences. But that mandate was always going to prove impractical as well, without a doubt. What I like about it, though, is the OBBB also enlarges opportunity zones with extended tax benefits to encourage investing in suffering inner cities as well as challenged rural areas. And the Democrats are, for some reason, against that as well. And, of course, the law strengthens work requirements for Medicaid and food stamp recipients. And, by the way, folks, the work can be as simple as just helping out at a food line, giving out meals, which those workers can later have themselves. Why the groaning? Please spare me. No one is being harmed by this bill. Only health. And more of these revelations will be coming out in the days and weeks ahead. You bet to your sweet the Batucci. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.